done when. Oh, I thought you already started it. Okay. So,
No. Good. Now you start. Oh, this is a great story. Go ahead. Your son. Go ahead.
This is just so silly, though. So, my son, when he was in at the end of high school, started dating this girl that lived a few blocks from us, and they rode horses together all the time and all this kind of hogwash. And she, her dad had a sailboat, and it was probably, I don't know, it was a 35 footer, and he moored it over in San Pedro. So she goes to Santa Barbara, State University of California at Santa Barbara, and it's right on the water. It's really amazing. And right down the street from the college, from the university, there's a boat dock, a marina. So are you ready for this? So she does not go up there and live in an apartment with three other girls or on campus or anything. They let her sail the sailboat by herself up to Santa Barbara and paid for a slip with electricity and running water and everything. And for the 4 years she was in college up there, she lived on her sailboat, and her dad got her a Jeep. So that's how she got around. So talk about the Southern California sort of story. Oh my God, I couldn't even believe
Yeah, those kinds of boats now are just stacked up in San Francisco Harbor,
Wow.
because the housing, well, I guess maybe now housing has dropped a little bit, but yeah, there are plenty of folks now that have these Paniche, these kind of very long boats, and they
Well,
just,
are they the barges where they build the house right on the barge? Because
yeah.
my brother lives in Utah, and he has friends that live up across the bay from San Francisco, and whenever they're up there, they have a 3-bedroom, 2-story barge boat
Yeah.
and they stay there all the time when they're up in that
They're
area.
all over they're all over the harbor now.
Yeah, but this girl that went to Santa Barbara, she just had a her family had a
I don't know that.
sailboat.
I think that's awesome. I
Isn't
mean,
that
yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It was a beautiful place. Santa Barbara was and it still is a beautiful
Oh, it
place.
is.
But
Yes,
I
very
remember
historic.
walking on the beach. When I would walk on the beach, you'd have to have tar remover, because when you would walk on the beach, your feet would just get filled with oil tar,
You
because
bet.
they had just started building those platforms out there. That was the
Yep.
only that was the bummer of it.
Yeah, I had a lot of tar on my feet from the From that, you bet.
And what
Yeah.
did they have? Tar? How did you get? Where was the tar?
Well,
The
they
tar was
in
crushed
between
in sand.
Santa Barbara and the Channel Islands, they have, I don't know, probably like five or six offshore rigs.
Yeah, you can see them going. You're driving up the
Oh,
coast right
absolutely.
there.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
they're
they're
totally
huge.
visible from the road. And then I think they have some kind of pumping stuff, and there's always a little bit of raw crude that enters the water, and then it just kind of get some sand and some particulates on it, and it floats to the beach, and then you step on
Oh, yeah.
it. Pretty much
Yeah.
it.
That wouldn't be very nice, would it?
And
What a
then there's a
beauty.
nude beach there, Wayne, as well. So you got to be really
Oh,
careful where you lay and which
I
direction you lay in. You know, that's it, you know.
don't think I'll be at the
It's
nude
much
beach.
easier to get the tar off your feet. I'm telling you know, I have an
Oh,
experience that I can't share.
okay.
Anyway, oh God, you remind
Okay.
me of one of my most embarrassing moments of my life.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, you know.
Yeah, that I had a friend of mine in France
TMI.
whose little boy was having
You
a
wish.
skinny dip in the pool. He has a skinny dip in the pool, gets out, kind of towels off, and he's a young kid. He's just running around buck naked next to the pool. A bee stings him right where you would think would be the worst possible place you could get stung, and his response was just classic. I mean, he's reeling over in pain, and all he said was, "Why me? Why there?"
Or to quote one of my most famous jokes of all time, you're gonna die. For those people who don't know that joke about the snake getting bit and he runs to get to the. Anyway, that's it. You'll Google the joke. Hey, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, thanks for coming today. This is Thinking Out Loud with Friends. It's our 198th meeting, consecutive meeting every week. We've been here on Wednesdays. This week we're saying, I'm calling this show now, the title of this particular Zoomcast is Now You're Talking. And so now I've said it. So now it's real. Now You're Talking. And today is March 6th. And welcome, everybody. Just remember, everything you hear today is an opinion, and you can't hold me against it. So are you against it? So whatever. So say whatever you like, you know? And there you go. And, hey, we have a new member here today, Chris. Welcome, Chris. Thanks for coming.
Welcome.
A long time ago, I tuned in, but been kind of busy. But, yeah, thanks for sending me the links every week. I finally used it. So I'm on the East Coast. I live on Cape Cod.
Oh, you're at Cape Cod. Wow. Oh, nice. So beautiful out there.
I worked at a place called the Beachcomber for decades. I don't know, it's a Cap 500, but we kind of hit above our weight. You know, we had Weezer there.
That's my drum educator played for them on their tour. Yeah, Dave Ellich.
Well, they had an alternate venue tour, and they didn't use anything of ours. They brought a generator. I mean, but that big W was on our stage. So our stage is 8x13, by the way.
Interesting number.
A tiny 8x13,
that's kind of small.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And let's see, like Maceo Parker's been on there and big reggae bands. It gets a little ridiculous.
You know, how do you get all the gear up on that stage at 8x8? And which way is the, I guess it's 13 feet wide, 8 feet deep?
Yeah, that's correct. And there's like a step along the front edge. And Burning Spear, Morgan Heritage, the Radiators, those bands kind of spilled off the stage. They're like, NRBQ brought their grand piano in there.
NRBQ?
Yeah. That
brings back old memories.
Joey Spompanato lives out here. He's a friend of mine. And then
they played at our high school a couple times in 73, 72, 73.
Oh, nice.
I had a couple of their albums.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Well, they're still kicking in some form. And Johnny and Joey's.
Oh, my God. Here. That's unbelievable. Wow.
And anyway, I'm your worst nightmare. I'm a guy with an M32 who thinks he knows something.
An M32.
No, we have plenty of people in a room like that. Everybody in this room.
Yeah,
I get more questions about X32s and M32s, and I'll be really honest with you. I hate those consoles.
I use them all the time.
I'm familiar with them.
Unfortunately, there's shitloads of them out there now. A lot of people are using them, but I can't for the life of me figure out why. Other than the fact
that $2,500, what do you want?
I know, right?
$2,500.
They're dirt cheap.
If it goes
wrong,
you buy it, throw it out, and buy a new one.
All the X series, and I've just got M32s because I had to change a fader in an X32 once, and I immediately sold all the rest of them.
Well, the M and the X are pretty much the same consoles, aren't they?
Not inside.
Really?
Yeah,
because they operate the same, and they're
yes.
That's my
correct.
One at a time.
M32s use better components than X32s.
They're a little easier to see because the screen angle is better and the screen is a little bigger. But boy, are they not friendly to get around on. And I usually run my laptop next to it and do everything on my laptop except push faders. But boy, tell you. It's about my 10th choice of consoles.
I think David was saying that he's using them all the time. David, what do you got to say about it?
They're everywhere. You're right about getting around on the software. They're not that easy, but they do have a couple of things that I really like because they've got a little built-in mini mixer system that the software is already part of the software. So
you mean the Dugan?
The it's like an Avion, except it's called P16M. And all you do is, you know, in your console software, there's a section for 16 outputs. You put them anywhere you want, you throw the Ethernet cable on, and those little mini mixers work great for band monitors. So that's the easiest I've seen anywhere.
I know they have a Dugan emulator, which I've used a couple times, which does okay, but you can only use it on the first 8 channels. And then I don't know if you guys might be able to tell me, but the Sahara has two of them in their theater, and I get stuck on them all the time. And their connectors on the back to go to your laptop don't work, and they haven't in 3 years. And I keep telling them to get them fixed, and they won't.
Well, that's because the Sahara closed about 5 years ago, maybe more. In Las Vegas.
But the MMAs do the shows in their showroom, and we're there doing their damn shows. But so when you choose inputs versus analog inputs versus the stage box, they're in banks of eight, and oh, it just makes me absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Well, the new version
Did they change it?
Yeah, yes. I think. Yeah.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I'll tell you a quick story about these boards. I went to China when we were selling a lot of Midas many years ago. I went to China and I went to the factory. And the difference between Midas and Behringer is about, 4 feet. That's it. They make them on the same floor, 4 feet of this side of the room, this side of the aisle was the Midas, this side of the room was the Behringer. They wheel the parts down and they just grab them what they need and they're right down the, and that's all the difference is. But the one main difference is on the Midas side, the Chinese tech who's building the board has to sign the inside of the chassis. Whereas really? They don't have to do it on the Behringer. So
Jan, they use different faders and pots and things. They're higher quality, the M32.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yes, they are. But I'm telling you, the parts go down that same 4 foot alleyway or, you know, aisle, and they grab what they need. And it's very possible that they might grab the wrong pot or the wrong fader or the wrong circuit board.
Now isn't very the M32 about $5,000 more than the X32?
No, it's like $1,000 more.
Oh, because you could buy the X32 for like $2,000 at Guitar Center here. Yeah. But I thought the M32s are around 8 or 9.
No, they're not that
much.
Oh, they're not that much. Oh.
And then there's
way under $5,000.
Because by the time you hit 10,000, you might as well buy a Yamaha QL5.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would much rather be on.
What if about you want to know the price, you might be able to go up to soundbroker.com and look. I don't know. I've heard about that site somewhere. I don't really remember where I heard about it from. Well,
the crazy thing I see with people, they don't understand the capabilities of these boards. I see people coming in. They want to use Wave servers and all sorts of things on an M32, and I'm like going.
They have a Waves card for it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yes,
I thought they did. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, last I checked with Waves, I thought I had seen it on their list.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you could do it, but you know, if you're in a place, why?
Why would you want to buy an inexpensive console and then spend a fortune on Wave software? I don't know. Right.
Just buy a better console.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, what did I sell you?
The other issue, too, is that, on latency, M32s and X32s, their unit of measure is milliseconds, okay, versus samples.
Right.
So if you really want to do that and you want to jump out of the board, you got to sit there with your calculator and figure out your latency for coming back in so you have time unity on your bus. Otherwise, most people don't do that. They just kind of guess, and then it sounds like crap, you know?
Interesting.
So
what about the Tascam Sonic View console that's just come out? Anyone seen that? It's under $10,000, Australia.
Tascam, does that mean it's got RCA plugs on the back?
No,
it's a bad. Little... You're so bad.
It's even got Dante.
Love you too, big guy.
Plugs and composite video.
No, it's got one of those. You know, it's got one of those plastic strips, Bruce, by the clock. We have to pull the strip out so that the battery makes a connection.
Isn't that like semi-pro? It's like nice console, but what's with the RCA plugs on the back?
We call that prosumer, Bruce. We give prosumer credit. Prosumer.
Has anyone seen it? The Sonic View Tascam?
No.
16. It's got standard Dante. It's designed as a live board. Under $10,000. Really? The Australian.
And how many inputs and outputs?
24 on the bigger one, 16 out, three little screens, 7-inch screens.
And what's the model number? What's the model number?
Tascam Sonic View. That's 96K.
Wow.
54-bit accumulator. Yeah, it's only. I just wondered if anyone's seen it yet. Because Tascam normally don't do live boards. Anyway, I
didn't even know Tascam was still in business, to be blunt with you. I thought that they, I know that they had been sold and resold and parlayed and relayed, but yeah, I didn't know they were still in business.
Wasn't Tascam taken by Harman, or am I mistaken?
I know they sold it. I think they, I always thought that they were part of Radio Shack, but, you know, just because of the quality and everything.
Radio Shack.
That's Tandy.
Is that the Tandy speakers?
Yes, exactly. And then I used to get those little cards where they would punch the thing. And then like after 8 or 10 visits to Radio Shack, when I was a kid, I'd get a free 9-volt battery, you know, that I could put in my walkie talkie.
I built my first home stereo speakers out of some Tandy 12-inch coaxials when I was about 15. Just
a name synonymous with quality. I guess we can say that now that, Radio Shack is no longer. But
no, Radio Shack.
I got to show. I got to show you something, guys.
In Mexico.
I got to show you something here. This is a battery tester. I actually bought two of them. I love these things. You put the battery in here, right? It's got a snap. And for the double A's,
if
you could see it, for the triple A's, there's a little hole in there where they fit it, and it's an amazing battery tester from Radio Shack.
It's the best one. I've worn them out, and this is like one of the last ones and jams in existence.
I think I have an SPL meter, a Radio Shack SPL meter floating around here in my box.
Yeah.
Boy, you know.
This puts a load on them as well. I mean, it's a really good battery checker.
Yeah, the newer version of that would be, I think it's Nightcore. They make, all these different size batteries. And so they have a new one that's like that with an adjustable length. You pop your battery in there. And it's got ICs on board, and it figures out what kind of battery it is and then charges it appropriately. Pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think somebody should make a battery tester for those little, what are those disc batteries called? Button. Because, the button batteries, you just slip it in 4032s. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why right I now, just have a
the battery flute. Tester I have for that, that doesn't, that it just, it's so hard to use. Because basically you got to put the battery in it and then it falls out all the time. But it would be great if there was a slot, you could just stick them in and test them out. By the way, I think this is also another Radio Shack winner right there, but very cool. Hey,
David, to get back to those PM16, they have PM48s now too. Midas came out. With each one of those monitor mix box, they handle two people on one Ethernet cable. So
that's my battery check.
An ohm meter. I love it.
Let me interrupt. Fluke multimeter. This thing is indestructible.
Let me explain why the one that we had was so good. Because when you're sitting there checking 60 and 70 batteries a show, that little one that Jan has is you just throw it in and throw it out. Throw it in, dump it out. Throw it in, dump it out. And you can test them this fast on that machine. And that's the thing that made it so good about that.
Yeah, very accurate too. You know. But by the way, somebody mentioned an SPL meter. And I just found out that if you have an Apple Watch, One of the widgets that go on the face of the Apple Watch is an SPL meter. So you could actually look at the SPL sound as you walk through your day, you know?
And your microphone is?
Yeah, we use
Hey, Greg?
Yep.
I hear it's really accurate, by the way.
We use that at the Meyer demo at NAMM. And we had two small little tools, and so we were getting hit with 130 dB at 60 hertz.
Ouch. Not good.
Which is body shaking. Body shaking. I mean, you can literally feel like your guts moving around. It was stunning.
It could cause diarrhea, man, at that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and there were these guys that were like trying to stand up in front of the end fire array when they were, you know, doing this, and they were just like, no, man. I mean, your hair is moving around like this.
It'll knock the shit right out of you, literally, not figuratively. Yeah, that's it, you know. Holy
no
crap.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, it was loud, but yeah, those meters are you know, accurate enough, and it's so convenient.
They're accurate to 1 dB, I believe, off of the best SPL meters there are, and you really can't tell 1 dB, but 2 dB you would be able to tell, but 1 dB you can't. Anyway, Dave, what console did I sell you for the for Hotel California?
2L1.
Oh, QL1. Okay. That's it. It wasn't an XL. Okay. Great. You know, I it's kind of interesting. We were speaking about your stage, Chris. Well, I not to compare your stage with Live Nation, but Live Nation did almost $23 billion in revenue in 2023. Could you believe that? $22.7 billion is the actual number. And I guess most of it came from Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and Billy Joel, I guess. You know, it's crazy. Coldplay, too. You know, that's crazy amount of money.
That is that right?
Yeah. They had all.
Put in a poll star. We'll throw the link in.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the gross number, not was their profit.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sure they made profit. Yeah. I'm sure they made profit. Whoa.
Oh, no, baby. This is Hollywood, mate. I mean, Hollywood has the most confounded method of calculating net profit that has ever been known to mankind. That they can make revenue coming out of their orifices and still never technically make money. It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing what they could ding you for. I mean, you know, $100 for postage, for one stamp, you know, all that stuff. It's crazy. You know, well, they have a way of making, I mean, they've been doing it a long time, especially the movie business, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, and film accounting is legendary for their ability to never make money.
Yeah, but it's nothing like what Jeff Bezos and NVIDIA. My God, are they making money hand over fist right now?
Yeah, and NVIDIA's stock is just absolutely parabolic. It's crazy.
How about ARM?
You know, well, actually, the NVIDIA is the ones that are creating the chips for artificial intelligence. And right now, Amazon and NVIDIA are working on human-like robots. It's frightening to me that they're doing that.
Musk already had one and caught a lot of flack because when they released the Cybertruck, one of the post videos was a Tesla android carrying an automatic weapon and firing it at the truck. There was a bit of backlash.
Yeah. Well, he's doing that. He's doing that Neuralink right now, and it seems that because of that, the guy that he implanted in is now able to move a mouse or I guess the cursor on a screen just by thinking, which is, I mean, considering that the guy was completely paralyzed, to be able to do that is amazing, you know?
Yeah. I had a friend with ALS, and eventually all he had was a caption on his cheek because at the very end you can only move your tongue, and so they put a little the particle physicist also had that system where he had a small device on and then he could move the mouse with his tongue, but boy and they have a lot of really good software for that. I was thoroughly impressed, like with word completion. So, you know, he can hit a couple of characters and then it starts narrowing down the possible, you know, word that he's trying to say, and then he could just scroll down and pick it rather than having to type the whole word out. And yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But what an awful, awful disease. Oh my God.
You know, I remember there was a Star Trek movie, you know, in the first series, it was called The Menagerie. It was a two-parter, and it was where Spock commandeered the Enterprise to go to this planet with this Captain Pike. And Captain Pike, all he was able to do was sit in a chair. He was completely disfigured, and he had a green light, a yellow light, and a red light, I believe. And that's all he could control was the light, you know?
And that was the pilot episode.
Was it?
Yep.
Anyway, you remember that episode? You know, it's like where here, this guy couldn't move, and you know, and then he goes to this place where they, you know, they were able to control his brain, so he was young and virile and free and could run and jump and sing and all that stuff, you know, and that's why Spock wanted to bring him there. And you know, my friends that know me really well, they call me Captain Pike, being here in in Thailand. I'm Captain Pike.
So, you're in Thailand?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great.
Rawai. We're moving up to Hoa Hin. We're going to move up to Hoa Hin, but right now we're in Thailand. Yeah, we're in Rawai.
What name was that? What name was that, Dan?
Which one? Hoa Hin? It's spelled H-U-A-H-I-N. Now, in the old days, I would have really, you know, had some fun with the name. But this is the new days, and it's just H-U-A-H-I-N, Hoa Hin. You know, it's where the king lives, not where you go to get laid. I'll tell you that right now, okay? So there you go. You reverted me back to my old days. Ah.
So the king lives there, huh?
It's his summer home. Very nice. It's very, very nice. I love the beaches up there, Jen.
I'll send you some pictures, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm living the dream. Living the dream, baby. Living the dream, you know. Speaking of the dream, LeBron James became the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 career points. Is that not that's amazing. I don't think anybody will ever do that again unless they start playing much younger than he did. I'd like to bring in our sports expert right now, Tina Finley, here to comment on this.
And then that young girl who's been, who just like set the NCAA scoring record.
Caitlin from
Iowa. Tina, what do you have to say about that? Yes. What's her name?
Caitlin from Iowa.
That's it.
I knew it. I knew she would know. I knew she would know. So what's the story on LeBron James? What happened? How did
what
it
do
work?
You mean? He's longevity and consistency.
He's the goat, baby. He's the goat.
Yeah, he's had a really nice career so far.
So what's the story on Duke? I mean, they want it unionized. Anybody know about this? I think it's Duke, right? Is it Duke University?
Yes, it is Duke. I did come across that article. I saw it, but I didn't really read into it, so I can't comment.
I just think it's dangerous for college students or high school students to start getting involved in unionizing at that particular time in their life, where I don't really feel that that's a necessary evil for them at this point in time. But then again, that's my opinion, and it is opinion show. Anybody want to say anything about it? I mean, I love the unions.
Yeah,
they're great what they do.
I thought it was Dartmouth.
Could be.
No, it's Duke. The students voted. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe there's another college too that's doing it. Yeah. I don't know. But it's out there in the ethernet now. So it's going to happen. You know, I think that it's going to happen. I mean, they now are getting, I think, you know, if you're using a player's likeness on a video game, I think it's fair that they get some money, or at least the school gets some money, you know?
The school was getting money, and now the kids are granted to have their NIL, so they get money now.
Yeah, I think that the school should get the school should get the lion's share. It's the student who's playing should have free tuition and free housing and everything else like that. But as far as the money goes, you know, when you're that young, it's really hard to control money. And you just, you know, you just think that you just can't relate to what money is at that point in time. And especially if you've never had money and then it comes to you, it's very difficult, because what happens is once you have money, everybody you know wants to hit you up for something. And at a young age like that, it's hard for anyone to be able to relate to what's going to happen when that happens, you know? So that's just my two cents. Speaking of money. Anybody have anything you want to say about that?
Well, I don't really
talking
have
about
too
money.
Much.
What do you think about this Wayne LaPierre guy, man? Found liable for like bilking all those NRA members out of, you know, tons and tons, millions and millions of dollars, $8-something million he bilked them out, you know, of fancy vacations and luxury watches and whatever he wanted, you know, great cars. I feel sorry for those people. Misspending millions of dollars for them, you know. Hey, and by the way, Jeff Bezos is now the richest man in the world again, supplanting Elon Musk by just a, you know, a few shekels, you know, not much.
Oh,
more
yeah.
Than that.
Yeah, by a billion, you know.
Yeah.
Well, everything depends on stock price, right? If, you know, Amazon goes up and Tesla goes down, which it did the other day, and, you know, whatever.
What do you guys think about Apple right now? Apple stock is in like a free fall.
Well, I think that they've hit kind of saturation with their phones. I don't know if about all of you, but I keep getting messages from my mobile provider basically begging me to, you know, come in and turn in my old device and get a new iPhone 15, I think it is, or whatever the latest and greatest is. And it just seems like the uptake on their new devices is nowhere close to what it used to be.
Yeah. I found that I used to be one of the early adapters with Apple. I used to go with if whatever phone was coming out, I needed to have it. Now they're up to 15. I'm still using a 13, you know, and it works perfectly. It works great. The battery is good. The telephone, you know, nobody ever advertises telephone reception, but my telephone reception is phenomenal when I'm on the phone. It's phenomenal. And, you know, so granted, the camera on the new iPhone 15 is far superior to what I have right now, but I'm not a professional photographer. I don't need 48 megapixels. You know, I just don't need it. I don't even remember the last time I printed a photo.
You know what? I have a 13 and my camera is absolutely fine for anything I could possibly use it for. I don't know. I couldn't imagine it getting any better. You know,
it comes down to the zoom.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Zoom, an optical zoom versus a digital zoom? Because I think
optical. Forget digital, just optical zoom. Yeah. That's the answer to which camera is better. Right there.
Hey, Dave, you sent me a link. You sent me a link about film shot on only an iPhone. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was a commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember
that. It was the Super Bowl halftime, actually.
Right.
Yep.
It was with Usher.
It's a whole YouTube web, you know, they have a YouTube page, and of all of the things that have been shot just using an iPhone. It's pretty impressive. But what they leave out on that is how much lighting they put into the show. I mean, amazing amount of lighting. So, I mean, that's the key to good photography anyway, lighting.
Well, just like microphone placement.
Yeah.
If you don't put your microphones in the right place, you could have the greatest gear in the world, man.
Oh, I just saw this new microphone that I mean, I have more microphones than I could possibly ever use in my lifetime right now. And I saw a new one. It's about the size of a quarter. And it's what's the brand name? I can't remember the brand name, but it's an off brand. It's not like, you know, Shure or Neumann. It's a consumer mic used for vloggers, but it's only the size of a quarter. and it attaches to your shirt by magnets, and it's really high quality for what you for making it. I can't remember the name of it offhand, but it'll come to me anyway. Let's see, Dave, what's going on there at the Westwood? Let's see, what theater is that? Juno and Ghost, Ivan Reitman and Steven Spielberg, Bradley Cooper. They bought a Westwood theater.
Yeah, the Bruin.
No. Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, the Bruin.
They brought the Fox. Now brought the Fox, the one with the big tower. And I don't know. And I mean, it's only, I think it's only one theater, and these guys have a lot of money, but I don't see that. Making a lot
it's
of
a coalition of 35 filmmakers, including Steven Spielberg, Bradley Cooper. It looks like it's called the Village Theater. Village Theater. It's a 93-year-old landmark theater located in Los Angeles and Westwood.
It's the one with the tall tower on it, which says Fox on top of the tower.
Right.
So
on a, so on anyway.
The, on the corner?
Yeah, right. When the two theaters are right next to each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Are they gonna restore it?
I don't know. It looked like it was in decent shape, but
well, they got millions and zillions of dollars amongst them. Right. So
I mean,
sure
I don't see how they're ever
going to
make money on it. It's just a single theater.
Yeah.
You know, it's an emotional purchase for them. I don't think it's a practical one at all.
Might be just a tax write-off, you know.
Yeah, could be.
Restore it and do special events and not worry about whether it actually makes money or not.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. That's the only way it's going to survive is if they don't care about it losing money.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they don't. You know what? What's really interesting, though, is that not, you know, jumping around on what you sent me, Dave, is that picture that you sent me of your Tahoe house in one day.
Yeah, one day snow.
Oh, like, yeah. Man. Yeah. They've been getting hammered up here.
Yeah, it's a lot of snow, you know. It's there's no such thing.
You can barely see the roof of the house, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
So but do you have to go up and shovel the roof off?
No, I have really, really big beams. They don't have to do that.
We had a when I was growing up, we had a place up in the Adirondacks, and
hey, I'll be right back. Keep it going without me. I'll be right back.
Two or three times a year, I'd have to go up and pull my snowmobiles on the back of my car, and we would drive the snowmobiles up the frozen lake. And up to our place, and we'd have to shovel the roof off. We'd have to tunnel down to the front door. It was so funny.
Yeah, well, that's what it was like, you know. But they don't have to really take the snow off the roof. I've got the giant beams holding up the roof, so that's the good news for that house. But they do have to shovel the driveway and the walkway, and that's pretty – that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I saw some reports. They were showing the semis, you know, trying to navigate these roads. Wow, I mean, the pictures were just mind blowing.
Oh, Donner Pass on the 80 every year gets to be an issue.
That's it. It was Highway 80, effectively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was up there a couple years ago. It was summertime though. But a few years ago, I went to my brother's at Christmas time in Salt Lake, and we spent a few days in Virginia City. And we just went, you know, out the 80 all the way, and it was Christmas time. And I'll tell you, you know, I had my Subaru, and that thing was like a snowmobile. People were slid off the road all over the place, and we nestled in behind a tractor trailer that had chains on, and we just tracked right behind him, and we went 40 miles an hour and went all the way to Salt Lake, and didn't have any problems at all. But people were off the road all over the place.
Oh yeah, I mean I rescued a guy. I've got a Forerunner with a winch and all this other stuff, and I was leaving where was I coming out of New Mexico, northern New Mexico, going into southern Colorado, Chama, and I started going up the pass at Chama, and I mean you couldn't even see the road, you know, it was just white, and we're just cruising up the road, and my wife like looks over and says, oh, there's a car that's, you know, slid off the road. And as soon as the guy saw us, he got out of the car, right? So he's in a Honda pickup truck with like literally like espadrille shoes and like a t-shirt with a tank top. And this guy was trying to navigate a snow-covered pass. So I extracted him out. He was in a ditch, and, you know, we just yanked him out. And then the snow plows came, and and all of that. And I talked to the snowplow driver, who was an old, very kind of wise looking Indian guy. And I said, so can my car make it? He's like, yes. But if I were you, I would go back and take the other road. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. So I turned around, went back down, didn't even try it.
I know. One year, 1980, we did the 1981, I think it was, we did the 757 Boeing rollout. And we were in Renton for 3 weeks. And I drove up, actually. Remember the story from last year? I drove the tractor trailer up. We had 14 tractor trailers for this product reveal, this airplane reveal. And I remember Grants Pass had a terrible snowstorm, and we had lined up, all the cars and trucks had lined up on the California side of Grants Pass, waiting for there was a couple of like excavators and some snow plows with sanders, plows on the front and sanders on the back, and they would go over the hill, right? And they'd have like 50 of us following them and come down the other side, and there'd be like an excavator and two snowplow trucks. And then we'd travel on, and they'd turn around and come back over and take the next group over. And all they did was go back and forth over the mountain. And it was like, 10 miles one direction up and 10 miles down. And they just went back and forth, and everybody waited in line for the next set of snowplows to come through, and they'd follow them over the mountain. It was crazy. I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, the weather is like changing like crazy. Does anybody know what's going on in Texas? I hear like it's burning to the ground or something like that.
Houston's okay.
Houston's okay.
Yeah.
No, apparently they had wildfires that were like the same surface area as Delaware.
Yeah, it's in the panhandle.
Can you guys see that?
Look, wow. Look at that picture of the Davids. Look at that. That's one night of snow.
Oh, my God.
One night?
Yeah.
That's it. One
Holy
night.
Holy jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of feet an hour.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It was like 10 feet of snow in one night.
Yeah, this is a lake level. Up a higher up, it's two or three times as much.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Everybody okay?
Looks like a nice day.
They knew
though.
It was coming. They stocked up on everything they needed to do, and they just, as long as they didn't lose power, that was the big one. And the wind was clocked at 190 miles an hour in Tahoe. I didn't know it ever got near that.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising me.
When I heard that, I thought, this guy's just exaggerating. Then I looked, and I saw it was true. It's like, how did that happen?
Kite surfing.
Truckee has become the coolest little town, I'll tell you.
Truckee's always been cool.
Has it always been cool?
Yeah, it's always been like full of artists and.
Oh man, we were up there about 3 years ago. We stayed for probably 4 days, and I'll tell you, I was so impressed. It was right at the end of COVID, and everybody in town was so pissed off because they were all bitching and moaning that the house prices had like gone up like four times because during COVID everybody was like buying places up there from California and pushed the house prices up hugely. So places that were like, 100,000 were $500,000. And it was pricing the people that worked in the town right out of the town.
Yeah. Crazy. A lot of those home buyers are not really real home buyers. They're corporations that are buying up this because of the need for more rentals because people are now not going into the office. So the office communities of downtowns are quite empty, and now they're talking about renovating these office spaces into living spaces. But in the meantime, like in Las Vegas, for example, these corporations own thousands and thousands of homes. I mean, I'm getting BlackRock. 2 to 3 calls a day to buy my home.
BlackRock BlackRock went on a residential purchase spree across
about the that.
Huge
with
numbers
all due respect. When somebody calls me, and they're texting me, they're calling me, and I say, hey, could you just do me one favor? And, and the guy will say, what is it? I say, please go fuck yourself and don't call me anymore. I've had enough.
Selling my house last year, before I sold my house, I had calls from corporations and I wouldn't sell to them.
Yeah. They're hidden because they try to be. They try to be your friend. Hello, Jen. This is Mahmoud. You remember me. You met me you know, at the gym. I said, well, hey, you know, I don't remember meeting you at the gym, but, you know, I want to buy your house, you know.
I got your number from the bathroom wall.
Oh, by the way, did you guys see John Oliver's show last week with the scam calls and the texting and all this stuff? Did you see that? I highly recommend it. Basically,
what channel is he
text?
On?
He is YouTube. On John Oliver's on HBO, but you could follow him on
YouTube.
Him on YouTube.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They post the you know, his expose position. Anyway, he did this thing about texting and the spams. And so if you're getting a text message that says, hey, or hey, you know, something along the lines of, we have dinner tonight. Are we on for dinner tonight or anything? Those are spam, and they are designed to get you into conversation so they could try to, you know, rip you off with like Bitcoin or something
they use,
along those
they
lines.
They use your voice too. They ask you things so that you answer them when you answer the phone, and then they have your voice print.
Oh, that's right. That could be true.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing about it. If they ask you a question, never give them an answer that says yes.
Yeah. That's always
right. You're supposed to say yes, because they'll record it, and then they've got you saying yes to stuff.
Yes. I mean, yeah, correct.
Can you hear me well? Am I coming through clear?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Scary.
The one I got today says, greetings from Offer Genies. We understand the intricacies of managing probate homes and are here to provide our support. Are you available to explore a personalized solution that could benefit your situation?
Yeah, there you go. But no, we're getting these text messages that says, hey, or something along. Let me see. I delete them. But it's just designed, you know, is this Dr. Jones's number? Or I was going through my phone book and I found this number and I don't remember who you are, you know.
So, Jan, you need to be careful of this, because this happened to me. I had my house up for sale for about 3 months and I was in Las Vegas doing a gig. And actually, I wasn't. I was in New York doing a gig. I was there for 11 days and my wifey was with me. And I got a text on my phone and it looked so official. And it said, LADWP, you owe, you know, $800 overdue or some bullshit like that, right? So I called them, and it sounded all official. And what they said was they knew that, you know, that I owed this money, right? And my wife got all upset. She started to look into this while I was doing the show and found out that when she talked to the realtor, because I did not owe any money because I was paid up, that people are going around and finding for sales houses that are for sale and copying down the realtor information, and then they're attacking you from that side, saying that you owe money on your house, and people are just paying the money because they want to be up to date so that their house sells, you know. And it, oh my God, it's this huge
Bruce,
issue.
Bruce,
so just
Bruce.
Be aware. But
let me tell you something, Jan would never fall for that.
No,
I'm just telling you.
I had never heard.
Jan would never fall for that.
I had never heard of that before. That was crazy.
No,
I would never fall for the house thing. But when I was younger, I used to fall for the free sex thing when they would call me up and say, "Free sex? Yeah, I'll take it."
Bruce, I gotta ask.
Hey, Kenny.
So did you call? How you doing, Bruce?
Good.
First of all, you have a history with Rock City Sound. Second of all, I mean, I do also, by the way, but anyway, the question I have for the moment is did you call the regular DP number or call the number that was in the text message?
Number that was in the text message. And that's my wife said, right. And my wife went back up to the room when I told her what was going on. She says, you shouldn't have called the number. And she took, I had my Mac with me, so I had all the information on my Mac. And she called DWP from the hotel room and found out that we were up to date and everything. And then she called the realtor, and the realtor said, oh, don't believe any of that crap, because it's been going around. And that's how they're getting the information through the realtor's sign out front. And they look stuff up online and start to figure out who, you know. Oh my God, I was amazed, you know.
Yeah. You have to be very
Rock City. What years did you work with Rock City, Bruce?
Well, it was very beginning. He was working out of his garage, so it was like 75, 76.
Whoa. Okay, so you ever heard of a band called the Werewolves?
No.
Oh, okay.
Make it up, Bruce. Make it up. It's an opinion show. You can say whatever you want.
No, when I was working with Sheldon, we were doing Battle of the Bands at the high schools, and I was helping him with stages at the Dutchess County Fair. And that's really all I did. I didn't do any high-end professional stuff because, yeah, I was in high school, you know.
Oh, well, I was working for a band around that time, and the band was on RCA Records, and I forget exactly the whole deal, but I remember that we were thrown into this little tour playing places like shopping centers and Under the Space Needle and I forget what else, but you know, got various odd places, not concerts, you know. I mean, not normal concert venues. And Rock City did the sound for it. And it was like, it was a battle for me every day because I was with the one band and Rock City guy was doing the sound for the Werewolves. I thought maybe that was you, but I guess not. Okay.
Well, no, no.
Anyway, that was Sheldon's system out there with this little RCA promo tour, you know?
So yeah, we had a band called Rock City Players that later changed their name to Talisman. He did the sound a few times for us and I would mix for them because I did their club stuff. But that was really it. Just Dutchess Community Fairgrounds, you know, the LA Fairgrounds, they have all those stages, you know, I would do one of the stages and then all the high school, I was in a band in high school and I always wanted to be playing around with the console. So,
so was that band called the Werewolves that you were in?
No, was it? That's so interesting. Yeah. I wonder what Sheldon's doing now, you know, I mean, they had some issues. He had a partner and somebody screwed him out of the company or something happened. Some bad shit happened. I don't remember what it was.
Sheldon end up with Lou Mead and Pro Media.
It goes back to this. It goes to Sheldon had a partner, Lee Kalish.
Lee Kalish, yes, that was his name.
And the two of them had a major disagreement and they split up and became two separate companies and didn't with no talking to each other. They were very pissed off. And then, so Sheldon was running Rock City. Kenny and I were both doing Rock City gigs.
Wow.
This was in the aughts. And then it started in 99 when I started with the SAP software with Kenny. And then they were bought by Lou Mead's company.
Firehouse.
Promedia. It was called Promedia.
No, Promedia, yeah.
Well, and then Firehouse. They became Firehouse, right?
And then they became PRG. Oh, no, they became Firehouse.
Firehouse. Right. I don't think they are PRG, are they? Yeah.
Right.
No, Firehouse.
Now, Sheldon's
running that.
I just talked to Sheldon recently. He's retired. He's living at home. He's having a great time. And he's building greenhouse and growing things in it. And
he's building greenhouses with woofers and tweeters?
No more audio for him. No more race car driving either. Was he driving race cars when you knew him?
I don't think so. I think he was interested. He talked about him, but I don't remember him actually driving any.
Miniature, like small one.
Yeah. No, they were open wheel. Instead of Formula One, they were like Formula Three or something. But he had a full-time mechanic on, and he had a couple of cars, and it was the real deal. Lime Rock, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I used to go to Lime Rock and watch, that movie star guy there. He raced a
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman races 240Z there all the time. Yeah. I loved Lime Rock. It was a beautiful racetrack.
Right. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff Sheldon was doing. So he was doing okay, and he's still doing okay. He had a liver transplant.
Wow.
And he's at like 10, 15 years ago.
He's got to be a few years older than us because I'm 68, and he was, you know, I was in high school, and he was probably in his late 20s maybe or mid-20s.
No, I don't think he's that old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's almost as old as you, David.
He's almost as old as me. That's why he's not that old.
How old are you, David?
Right.
I'm way too old.
Are you?
David is antique. You will never guess how old David is. Guess how old.
I couldn't guess, but he's got to be a couple years on me, and I'm 68.
Oh, I got a couple of years.
Five years older than me. He's 5 years older than me.
Try
I know that
10
sure.
years, Bruce. Try 10 years.
Really? Old. Oh my God!
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's David has good genes, huh?
And he's still walking.
That's what rock and roll will do to you.
Yeah. Not only does he have good jeans, he has some nice slacks as well. You know,
shorts. They got great shorts.
I bet you he's got penny loafers.
Shorts. You don't want to see him in Bermuda shorts. I'll tell you that right now.
So, David, do you still have your penny loafers?
I never had penny loafers.
I did.
Oh, yeah. What was it? The Bass Legions. That was the other. Those were the other big ones. And then the LL Bean boots. Those were big.
You know, I had the shoes that zip up on the inside of your leg. You know, those kind of shoes.
Let's just put it this way. David was not the Birkenstock kind of guy. You know, that's it. You know,
I actually did have Birkenstocks. I wasn't a Legions kind of guy.
Wow.
So does David still have his?
No.
Bruce, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. Always great to see you guys.
All right. Have a good week.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Kenny, I got some good news for you. You're driving a BMW. Is that correct?
Me, Kenny?
I think Kenny is frozen. Nope, there he is moving. You're driving a BMW, right? Well,
not right now.
Well, that's good because you shouldn't be talking on the phone or broadcasting while driving, unless you're crazy.
Certainly not driving. I am. I'm in my hotel room, and this is the worst Wi-Fi at this hotel.
What hotel? This are you doing, Manilow?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Where is this? I'm looking right now. Looking right now, where is it? Oh my God!
It's not the East Gate; it's the West Gate.
There you go. Consumer Reports: BMW named top pick in overall brand rankings. Subaru top mainstream brand. So there you go, Kenny. You're driving the number one car according to Consumer Index. Consumer Reports.
Yeah, well, you know, how much did they pay? How much did BMW pay for that rating? That's all it comes down to, right?
Oh, well, now we know the truth. Now we know the truth. It's all about
Don't get me wrong. I love my BMWs, but you know, there is no best.
So do you have a BMW,
Ken?
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
Two of them?
Yep, I have an old one and a pretty new one.
Oh, very good.
Oh, you didn't sell the old one. I thought you sold the old one.
No, it's still my around town car, and it still goes. So why not? Yeah.
Right,
a pretty good car.
2002 or what? Older than that?
No, it's not. It happens to be that model year, but no, not that model though. Oh. It's a 325 CI from 2002 year.
Oh wow!
I think Ken Porter drives a BMW too, if I remember correctly.
No, I went deer hunting with it about a year ago.
Oh, what are you driving these days?
A 23 Stinger GT2.
What is that?
What's a Stinger GT?
It's a Kia.
It's a Kia's.
Stinger. Oh, that's a pretty slick car. That's a really nice car. How do you like the Kia brand there, Ken?
I've been pretty good, but see, I have a relative. My brother-in-law is a director of quality control and engineering at the plant in LaGrange, Georgia.
The Kia plant.
Some nepotism going on there. I like that. Yes.
And so were you able to get a good deal on it also? Because they already are great, nicely priced, right?
Yeah, I got a good deal. Friends and
good
family.
Good for you. Good for you.
Friends and family deal. Well, not one of those five-finger deals, but, you know, friends of the family. So, you know, those Kias awesome. Are really advanced electronically, super advanced. That and the Hyundai, man, they are amazingly advanced.
Well, Hyundai and Kia are connected in some way. At the very least, their design center is shared.
They're sister companies, and the Genesis is also part of the conglomerate.
Well, Genesis is the luxury brand of Hyundai, is it not?
Yes. It's like,
yes.
Like Lexus and Toyota, absolutely.
Right. How about this? Did you realize, here's a fun fact for you, I learned a few months ago, that Porsche is the luxury version of Audi, and Audi is the luxury version of VW. In other words, there's three brands in that company. VW is the bottom, like the economy model, and then what's the next one? And then Audi is middle. Audi. Or Audi, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, and then the Porsche is the luxury brand.
But Ken, financially, VW is the corporate mother of all three organizations.
Yeah, just like Nissan and Infiniti. Nissan's the mother brand of Nissan, right?
And you left out
the car that I want to own the most, is the I'm getting old.
Maybach. Well,
no, I don't want a Maybach. A I want the
Lamborghini. Fisker.
I want that. I can't believe it. The Miner. The little car. What?
I think he wants the BMW Mini Cooper.
The Mini Cooper. That's it. Mini Cooper.
My brother has one of those. That's a BMW product also, isn't that?
Yeah,
BMW
that's what
product?
I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Teslas? No one has a Tesla?
I don't want to support Elon Musk in any way, shape, or form.
I hear that.
So have you ordered your Mercedes with the Dolby Atmos interior in it?
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of them here in Bangkok. That, you know, you wouldn't believe the amount of luxury cars they have in Bangkok. Unbelievable. It's one of the richest cities in the world, Bangkok, you know, or not the city itself, but the people who live there. It's amazing when I go up to Bangkok to see those cars. You would think, why would they have Ferraris and Maseratis? There's no place to drive them. The roads are horrible there, you know, and yet they have them because they can.
I saw an article last week about the one percenters, like what it takes to be a one percenter in the U.S. And it's like 5.8 million. And they were talking about that other countries, and some of it's more like one country, like Switzerland was like $10.5 million to be in the 1%. And I can't remember what Monte Carlo was, but it was like huge.
What about a place like Dubai?
Oh yeah, God, just crazy.
Countries like
Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Iran, or
Qatar.
Well, I'm sure there are posts that will tell you what, you know, they'll tell you what's what and where the cities are. But I know that there's more money, there's more rich people living in Bangkok than almost anywhere else in the world.
Is that right?
The money is controlled in the oil rich companies. The money is controlled by the families of the royal families. That's where the money is controlled, you know. But this is an interesting article talking about that. Americans, this is from a Yahoo Finance, this story. It says Americans, everybody sees millionaires as wealthy except for millionaires themselves. A new study suggests Americans with $1 million don't think they're wealthy. Only 8% of investors with $1 million consider themselves wealthy. A recent report from Ameriprise Financial found instead 60% categorized themselves as upper middle class, and a notable 31% considered themselves middle class. The study revealed wealth is more than just hitting a specific dollar amount or lifestyle. Rather, it's a mindset and a feeling of security. We'll throw in the link in the notes as well if you want to read it. But I've always said that the difference between something being expensive and costly is how you feel about when you pay it. If you could afford it and it's a lot of money, it's costly. If you can't afford it, then it's expensive. That's how I look at it. You know,
Dan, how do you feel about being rich?
You know, the median price house in LA is like $600,000. So $1 million doesn't make you that rich.
That's got to be higher than that, right? Right, David?
Even if it's higher, that makes my point even more.
Exactly.
My house is worth.
I suspect that, you know, you get into South Central on those. The housing prices there aren't too expensive. But yeah, the housing in Los Angeles at the moment is just absolutely breathtaking.
Everywhere.
Crazy.
You know, even in South Central, they got to be at least $300,000.
Oh yeah, but it's like when you get all those calls and everybody wants to buy your house, that for me, that's a red light, you know, that some kind of correction is coming. When everybody's on the same side of the same trade, that's a good warning indicator.
Speaking
doesn't of Magic Johnson live down there now, South Central?
I'll say not, man. I don't know.
Did anybody see the story that Saudi Arabia is building a brand new city with a Formula One track in it that's elevated, has like 200 foot of elevation change on the turns and all that stuff there? Yeah, you ought to see
it. Oh, it's like amazing what they're planning on
doing.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It's going to be two vertical buildings parallel to one another. And it's going to be miles and miles long, these buildings, and it's going to be indoors. It looks amazingly impressive, but I doubt they'll ever get it. I'll doubt they'll ever get it built.
They started building a city around this Formula One track. It's supposed to be a whole track, and it has like swim pools and lazy rivers and stuff where people can basically live summertime, like come from foreign countries to stay there and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm ever going to be living in Saudi Arabia. I don't think that's in my cards. But, who knows? You never know.
It's not in your genes.
Not in my jeans or my Bermuda shorts, for that matter. You know, that's all I could say. Anyway, we're running out of time right now for streaming. Not that we could probably stream forever, but I think
translation. You're running out of interesting data or interesting.
Oh no! I've got so many stories. You know, I got so many stories that I see during the week that I want to share, but we never get to it because, you know, I don't. I let the stories go where they go. Anybody could talk about with anything they want. I just have the stories in case there's a dull moment, but. So far in the last 197 episodes, this being the 198th Zoom cast we've done, it's never got to the point where there's been nothing to say, you know, so it's been great. You guys are amazing. You're so knowledgeable about so many things and you bullshit so well. I love it. It's just great. It's great bullshitting with you guys. And I love it. Listen, one thing I want to say on a sad note, in case you didn't know this, Bill Post, he passed away. And in honor of him, 2 weeks ago, I wanted to mention it. And you saw the show logo had the toasters. Well, Bill Post, if you don't know who he is, he invented Pop-Tarts. And he passed away at 96. So there you go, Bill. But somebody else who died this week, I think it's this week, it might have been last week, was Richard Lewis. And I actually got to do a show with Richard Lewis, and I got to know him, and he was a super nice guy. So may he rest in peace.
And to round out our list of people that passed away, I just found out moments ago that Deborah Bird passed away yesterday. Now, I don't know if you know who Deborah Bird is. Deborah Bird was a singer with Barry Manilow for many years. Back in the early days, she was with him. She was just a fantastic person. And, you know, a beautiful lady from Detroit, and she could sing her ass off, really sang really well. And I was just talking to her a couple months ago because I knew that she was vocal coaching on American Idol and The Voice. And I said, oh, you know, and Cheryl wanted to get a vocal coach for her grandson. So I said, I'll contact Deborah Bird and see if she can point me in the right direction. So I talked to Deborah Bird on the phone. She was just as nice as could be, super nice. Just found out yesterday she passed away. I mean, found out today that she passed away yesterday. Just horrible.
And then James Beard from Steely Dan, the keyboardist, passed away today or yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. They're dropping like flies. Anyway, may they rest peacefully and you know, may we honor their lives that they have.
Yeah, Bob Hile.
I just hope all of us stay alive.
Bob Hile. Yeah, Bob Hile. You know, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, Bob Hile passed away. What a nice guy he was, too. I got to meet him many, many times. Very, 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 very knowledgeable guy. He affected a lot of people's lives in our industry. So, yeah.
Oh, very much in the live sound business. He was one of those forerunners, you know. He had his white and purple horns back in the old days, and he was just really ahead of his time, you know.
Yeah, and these microphones are great. I mean, I don't have one with me, but I do have one in Las Vegas, in my house in Las Vegas, for sure. You know, the PR40, and also he was really revolutionary in ham radio. He
very much so. Yeah, he was very very active. Him and Joe Walsh were very active in ham radio. I assume Joe Walsh still is, but isn't that funny that Joe Walsh is active in ham radio? But he and Bob Heil were close friends because of that ham radio connection.
Yeah, they had a podcast on the Twit Network for a while. Yeah, you could probably look it up, you know. Yeah, they had a podcast. I think I don't even know. It might have been a video podcast, but definitely was audio. I've listened to it a few times, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, before we say goodbye to everybody, is there anybody in the room that wants to say anything at all? Maybe somebody on social media will hear it.
Oh, yeah, I could say that I'm enjoying the Australian Idol and judges and the whole show at the moment, which is currently airing. And there's some great performers. The judges are entertaining. Even Kermit the Frog popped in, but not the real one, because that's just a pseudo one. But I'm enjoying that. And I went to Carrathool and did a show with a band called Wobbly Whoop last weekend, and it was very good. The town has 300 people, but they have a horse race, and about a couple thousand get there. But I had a good downtown Australia.
I want to say to everybody, if you have an Apple device, get AppleCare. It is the best. I just had my computer memory motherboard die. It's 3.5 years old, and they just put $1,000 worth of work into it, and I have a new computer again. I love AppleCare. So,
yeah. By the way,
you're like an AppleCare advertisement.
Yeah. Speaking of Apple and AppleCare, Netflix is now asking everybody who pays through Apple to stop. Otherwise, you're going to lose. They're going to discontinue Apple Pay on Netflix because Apple is taking 30% of their subscription revenue.
That's a lot.
Well, that's interesting. I get my Netflix through T-Mobile. Huh?
Me too. Oh, by the way, I followed this podcast called Mac Geek Gab, and one of the guys on it, this guy named Pilot Pete, he said that he put in the T-Mobile Wi-Fi unit, which is 5G, and he was broadcasting on it. It was flawless. He says it's amazing.
Yeah.
So I guess it all depends on how close you are to a tower, whether or not it's worth having or not. But for 40, 50 bucks a month compared to what I'm paying with Cox, feeling like I'm getting ripped off every month because they make me keep a phone line as well in order to keep the high-speed wireless. When I get back, I'm changing out. They're ripping me off. I mean, it's an opinion, but I feel like I'm being ripped off by them constantly, and I hate it. I hate it. So,
monopolies are really bad. Kind of like Live Nation.
Yeah, well, I can't compare Live Nation to a utility, although we could. We could save that for next.
A utility is sort of necessary, and Live Nation is doing a luxury item, right?
Yeah, but I feel like our municipalities have sold us all down the river because, you know, in the beginning, you only had one choice. You either had Cox or you had nothing. Well, that's two choices, Cox or nothing. And, it's like almost the same. Anyway,
municipal Wi-Fi is really something we all should be pushing for. There's some cities that have done it, and like for $50, you get an optical connection, low latency, symmetrical. We have something called Open Cape out here. The Joint Base runs on it. All the police stations and all the libraries are connected, but it's kind of expensive to connect directly just for your home. So they're going to try to partner with people. But, you know, we should all encourage our towns and cities to just do internet and put these freaking bloodsuckers out of business.
All right. You want to hear something? I'll tell you. So here in Thailand, nobody really has a landline phone. Nobody, everybody has wireless. Businesses have wireless, cellular. Everybody has cellular. And all of the cellular companies, every one of them, for their company, they offer you universal Wi-Fi when you're in the street. So when you're in the street, you're connected. You're not only connected by cell, but you're also connected by their Wi-Fi. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And you know what I'm paying a month for? Unlimited telephone, unlimited internet, and unlimited texting, $6 a month. Six.
What's the
$6? Oh, high speed. It's high speed. It's like 100 up and 100 down. It's like 100, crazy
100 kilobits up, 100 kilobits down.
No, megabits.
Yeah. Yeah, megabits. No, it's fast. It's fast as hell. I mean, it's crazy.
And I thought I was doing good when I reduced my cost of my high-speed internet from $85 to $40 a month by going with Frontier over Spectrum. But wow, you've really reduced.
Well, I'm paying still $120 a month for T-Mobile, so I could have my T-Mobile line down here. You know, but it's crazy, you know, because I have this, T-Mobile has this great plan called Global 15 Plus, where you, anywhere in the world, you have your phone and there's no additional fees. You get 15 gigabytes of high speed internet and you get unlimited calling and texting anywhere from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world. And,
all you know, need, otherwise, Dan, all you need is a VoIP server back in Vegas and you have an open VPN connection in Thailand and you just put a fixed line in there and you dial all day long and it just goes out through Vegas and costs nothing.
I'm going to talk to you offline,
Chris. Like that cost? I'm going to talk to something like that cost?
It's free.
It's actually pretty cheap. So all you need is a small piece of commodity hardware and then you have to get a line card, but the whole thing can be done for like less than $500 or $600.
T-Mobile just posted a cease and desist. No,
text just came through from a legitimate.
I just got a text, cease and desist. You know, yeah.
And one
your
other
opinions
thing
don't count.
And one other thing, we were talking about fraudulent stuff. So I have a VoIP system here. I think I've explained that. And I have a VoIP provider, but I get to set caller ID. So I can call any one of you from any phone number you give me, and it'll show up when I call you. So even when you see a caller ID on your phone, you always got to get a whiff of
it. Isn't that spoofing?
It's called spoofing, and it's.
I remember. Back in the old days, before all this technology kicked in, I remember when caller ID first started. I had an idea that I remember this, David. I don't know if I ever told you about this idea. Remember that little dialer you had, the demon dialer that you screwed onto the handset. So I was thinking. I always said, well, I'm going to make something that with which I can spoof the number from which I'm calling. And that'll, you know, you'll put it in front of the receiver. I mean, the what do you call it? the handset, and it'll go, and that'll spoof the phone system into saying that I'm a different number so that I can be somewhere that I'm not. And that was like an idea I had. And like people have, well, obviously millions of people had that idea and have used it for very bad things.
Well, I know that.
They had a phone booth in a bar in England. And the phone booth had recordings, so you could be
That's great. Airport. That was where I was headed with mine. I was like, oh, so I could be like, you know, out at a fun gathering or something, and say I'm still at work. You know?
Yeah, they had one of those at a bar. I was at the hospital sounds, airport sounds.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey, that's great.
T-Mobile. Yeah. I'm sorry. Google. Is who's my phone provider? A Google Fi, and my son was tearing up the data, so I upgraded to the next tier. And what I didn't realize was that they uncap the speed when you get to the higher tier with unlimited data. And frequently, I've been in restaurants where I shut off the Wi-Fi and go to my Google Fi, and it's faster because they're like gypsies. They don't have their own network, so they have contracts with like AT&T and, you know, all the major companies. So they just pick the fastest network. So I'm pretty happy with Google Fi International. Yeah.
So that's a Google. So that's a product provided by and that you pay for Google for. That's basically that's your cell service.
Yes.
Oh, how interesting! Yeah. Wow.
But like,
yeah, it's very good.
Since I upgraded it, I've actually streamed from like, you know, my hotspot, and it was pretty good. That was impressive.
The problem is with Google Wi-Fi, the Google Fi is it's only domestic. It's in the United States.
No, that's not true. No, it works. I mean, my son went to Germany. Everything was fine there. far as I know.
What kind of costs do they charge you when you're overseas?
There was nothing additional. There's nothing additional.
Anything VOIP is the same price wherever it is.
All you need
is like when I go to England with T-Mobile, what's it going to cost me, Jan? I'm gonna pay for that international plan, and that'll cover
it's
me.
$50
cover
bucks
me for
a month.
For $50 a month.
$50
right?
a month. Yeah, and well, you shut it on and off. You go there. It works with your telephone cycle. So if your billing cycle is from the 1st to the 30th or 31st, that's when they charge you for it, and it works for that period of time. And then remember to shut it off when you get home.
Yeah, cool, because I'm going to England for like a month in a few months.
So mine's like 160 or 100 for three phone lines. And it's the same price whether you're international or not. And it, as far as I know, it just works.
Google Fi operates on the T-Mobile network.
Yes.
That's what Chris was saying as well. Yeah. How interesting.
Also, Mint Mobile does the same thing, but works on the T-Mobile network. And that's cheaper, too, because they buy a lot of it. And that's how they subcontract it out. But this Google Fi, I've heard only good things about Google Fi. You know, but then
Google wants to own everything
I'm doing.
Google is happening. My Google is my TV is YouTube TV. That's Google, you know?
Yeah, it's up to like $75 a month now.
If not higher, yeah, but it's great.
Yeah, you know, so it really is good. It's unlimited DVR. And then for an extra couple of bucks, you could get 4K and download. I'm just too cheap. Just too cheap to get that downloading business.
Well, just so you know, how do you access it from there? Do you have a VPN? You access it through a VPN or something?
Yeah, I have a VPN. I'm using Surfshark. And if anybody's interested in Surfshark, if you sign up with my account, you get a free month and I get a free month.
Because I have Surfshark also, but every time I'm in Vegas and if I turn on YouTube TV on my computer, even while Surfshark is running, it says, "Oh, well, you're out of town." So it knows I'm out of town.
Huh. Well, you have to make some. I'll tell you how to change that around maybe next week, or I'll call you and let you know how to do that. Right. But the reality is I just so you know, I'm using Zoom Wi-Fi or Zoom phone. The Wi-Fi is provided here by the local carrier 3BB, which is super fast. I mean, they don't have any hardline phones here, so they developed cell phone networks 5G, and it's very, very fast. Everybody's got super fast service here. They don't charge you for additional fast service. It just comes as a plan. Bo is only paying $3 a month for the same thing I'm getting, but she got an earlier plan and they haven't raised their price. Could you believe it? They haven't raised their knock on wood, and I hope they don't, but you know, but
they're listening to you right now and they're going, "Oh, we can charge more. Oh,
cool." You know, swadikap. Oh, you know, hello everybody. You know, oh, lo de mai, you know, lo de mai, give me a discount. You know, that's okay. That's Thai.
Oh, that's the first
right?
phrase
hey,
you learned
is,
when
lo
you went
de mai.
There. That's Jan
right here.
I gotta go, gentlemen.
You won't see her.
Good talking to you.
Thanks for including me.
Look what she made me. Unbelievable.
Oh, how nice. Lodi Mai.
No, that's not Lodi Mai. That's Aloy.
Aloy.
I like it. De Ma. Okay.
Everybody.
Bye bye.
All right. Well, anyway, you know what they say.
Let's say goodbye to
everybody.
Let me say goodbye.
When you trip over the pattern in the rug,
stay,
it's time to leave the
stay with me. I need to talk to you guys. Don't go away. Hey, listen, everybody who's listening in, you could be part of this panel. All you got to do is DM me. Remember to give it a like, share the show, and hey, have a great week. And remember, you make it happen. We'll see you again for the 199 show next week. All right. We'll talk to you soon. And by the way, I think next week is daylight savings time. So, or the end of it, or the beginning of it, or something like that. Oh, well, whatever it is. Talk to you guys later. All right, we're going to stay in the room. And we are off.